Dear friends in Jesus Christ, at some moment in life, people are going to wonder, is heaven open for me? Sometimes there are things in life that spark that kind of a thought. For example, like an attack on our nation back on September 11th, 2001. A lot of people were wondering on that day, is heaven open for me? They were concerned about dying, and anytime we think about dying, they're wondering, is heaven open for me? Or what about the death of a loved one? So your loved one has died, maybe a parent, maybe a spouse, maybe even a child, and there you are gathered in the church, and your loved one is there, and he or she is dead, and you're thinking, oh, that means that someday I'm going to be dead. And when I die, it makes us wonder, is heaven open for me? Or what about a serious medical diagnosis? Maybe the doctor, after a series of tests, the doctor calls you in and he says, I'm so sorry I have bad news. You have terminal cancer. So you have a kind of cancer that we just can't help you overcome, and eventually that cancer is going to end your life. What are you thinking? Is heaven open for me? So these are things that people can think about. Some of you might recall, it's been a while now, but back during the season of Lent, I preached a series on Wednesdays called The Christian Engine. Kind of a different kind of a series. But anyway, the final part, though, was on the topic of witnessing, you might recall. So I said that witnessing, what it does, I said it supercharges our life in Christ. So what do I mean by that? Well, I talked about five different parts of the engine, and parts 1 through 4, we can kind of go through those in a kind of a normal way, I suppose, no big deal, nothing exciting. But if we have witnessing tacked on, if we have the fifth part or the fifth stroke of the engine, then it's going to make a huge difference. Here's what I mean by that. When we know Jesus, we are automatically going to want others to know him too. In other words, when we think about it, we're like, oh my goodness, I was on my way to eternal punishment. Now I'm on my way to eternal bliss. This is so amazing. Certainly, we want others to know that too. So when we want others to know, we're going to have that desire, and we're going to figure out some way to be able to share the truth of God with other people. When I go back decades ago, before I ever thought about going to seminary, at my congregation, we had a lot of those like pocket-sized tracts. And when I was meeting people, I'm handing them out. When I'm going to places, I'm leaving them in different places. I'm like planting all these seeds because I wanted people to know what I knew. I wanted them to have what I had. Well, when we point people to Jesus, what's going to happen if we have contact with them? What's going to happen is, in a lot of cases, they're going to have questions for us. They're going to be like, oh, what about this? What about that? And so on. So what happens then, when we dig into the Bible, we're not just reading to read like our chapter a day and check off the block, but now we are digging into the Bible, trying to find answers to their questions. When we pray for them, we know that the Holy Spirit needs to protect them, because as soon as we share the truth with them, what does that do? That activates the forces of evil to try to gather and rip the truth away from that person. So we are praying in a serious way that God would protect that person and that God would bring that person to faith in Jesus Christ. These are important things. We're talking about a great spiritual battle that is going on. We can't see it, but it is real, and God wants us to know, and he wants us to pray in a serious way. See, when we are witnessing, we are into the Bible in a different way. When we are witnessing, we are praying in a different way, and then we're also wanting to invite that person to come to church. We are also wanting to introduce that person to other believers in Christ and welcome them as part of the family of God. These are all important things. When I was sharing that final sermon on Wednesday in the season of Lent, I mentioned this particular phrase. So I said we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus for eternal life. So I had mentioned how I wanted to get you some kind of a resource where you could easily share that phrase. It would have help in there so that you could explain that phrase, and it's also a way to invite people to easily come here to Bethlehem. So I want to do that here in just a moment, but just before I do, though, I want to talk for a moment about the words saved versus heaven. So I'm thinking about doing this resource a few weeks ago, and I thought if I would put on the front of the resource, like, are you saved? Or to make it more personal, am I saved? But do people even know what it means to be saved? They're going to be thinking, well, hey, I'm okay. I'm not drowning. I don't need anybody to save me. So I thought that's not really very pertinent. So we switched over from the idea of being saved over to the idea, is heaven open for me? I think more people would think about, oh yeah, I heard about heaven, I heard about hell, it's a no-brainer as to where I want to go to heaven, and then maybe they're wondering, hey, what about me? Is heaven open for me? So that is the new resource then. So with the resource, I'm hoping that when people see the card, so right away it has a question on there, and it is a first person question. It's a personal question. I think for anyone to simply just glance at the card real quick, they're going to read that question, and in their own mind, in their own heart, they're going to be asking the question, hey, is heaven open for me? People are wondering about that. Now, if it's not a real tragic time in their lives, they might not be super curious, but I think most people are going to wonder when they see the question, is heaven open for me? So then we're hoping that people will take the card and take a look at it, and when they open it up, they're going to see this statement in there. So it says, when we believe the bad news, then we will desire the good news. So you know how in the Lutheran Church we talk about law and gospel. So we proclaim the law, and the law is showing people their need to be saved, their need to have heaven open for them, and that once they know they have that need, then we share the answer, and the answer is Jesus. So I think this is important, though, when people believe the bad news. So we shouldn't rush through the bad news. We shouldn't just say real quick, well, we've all done bad, and we all need Jesus. I don't think that's going to do it. People need to kind of let that bad news sink in. They need to know the trouble that they are in. And once God makes that known to them of the trouble, then they're going to be open for that good news. When people are ready for the good news, when they're kind of overwhelmed by the bad news, they're going to even ask us and say, oh my goodness, please give me that good news. We're going to know when they're ready for that. Many people, I don't think, are ready for that good news. So what is the bad news? Well, the bad news is that all have done wrong. The bad news is that all have earned eternal punishment. And the bad news is that all are helpless to enter heaven. Now, when we think about that first statement there, all have done wrong, I think everyone would readily agree with that. Oh, yeah, sure, I've done wrong. I haven't always done the right thing. But when we get into part two, though, all have earned eternal punishment. Most people are not going to agree with that. Most people are going to say, oh, yeah, I did wrong, but eternal punishment? No way. Like maybe a slap on the wrist or something like that, but there's no way, though, that I deserve eternal punishment. And then coming to the last one, all are helpless to enter heaven. Same kind of a thing. Well, yeah, I've done bad things, but I've done some good things, and I'm a decent person, and they're able to talk themselves out of those kinds of things. Well, at this point now, what we need to do is we need to share the truth of God with them. What is the problem today, though? Many people do not even believe that the Bible is the truth of God. So now we have to go back to the last couple weeks. We had a two-week series on the Bible is true. So if people don't know the Bible is true, If you're talking to somebody about the new card, I'd probably stop right there and say, let's not even talk anymore about the card. Let me get you a copy of this brochure called The Bible is True. I want you to read it over on your own. Let's talk about it a little bit further. I want you to know the Bible is true. Once they know that, then we can go to some key passages. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, they can agree with that one. But what about the next one? The next one is so important. For the wages of sin is death. So think about wages. We all know about wages. So we have a job, we do our work, we expect a paycheck. We've earned that paycheck. Imagine working for a week or two, and at the end of the week or two, you get no paycheck. Would you be going to your boss and saying, hey, what's up here? I put in my work. I want that paycheck. I earned it. I deserve it. What is the Bible saying? That our sin earns us death. And when you look at the context of that verse, it's not talking about physical death. It's talking about eternal punishment. That's what that verse is saying there in Romans 6:23. So it's so critical that people understand that because they have sinned, because they have done wrong, they have earned something horrible, and what they have earned is eternal punishment. If people don't get that, there's no sense in telling them about Jesus. They have to get that they have done it to themselves, they've earned something horrible, and then going on to the next part, there's nothing they can do to fix it. The Bible says, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we need to know we have earned something horrible, and we are helpless to get ourselves out of this bad situation. Once people are at that point, it's going to be like on the day of Pentecost, where those people in the crowd that Peter was preaching to, then they cried out and said, brothers, what shall we do? In other words, they knew at that point they had earned something horrible. They knew they were helpless to fix it, and they cry out, brothers, what shall we do? Well, Peter had great good news for them. I'll wait till we get to Pentecost in order to share that in more detail. Assuming people have come to grips with the bad news, now we're ready to go on to the good news. So what is the good news? Well, heaven is open by grace through faith in Jesus for eternal life. It would seem completely impossible to be able to get into heaven, kind of like a locked door. No matter how hard we try, we can't get in, but God wants us to know that He has made the way. We deserve something horrible. We are helpless. God loves us. God has made the way. I want to talk a little bit more about these different things. So what about the grace of God? The grace of God really means the unconditional love of God, the unconditional love that God has for us. Almost for all of us, it's so typical that when we look at someone, we are conditioning our love. Hey, is that a nice person? I might be able to show love for him. Is that a mean person? It's going to be pretty hard to love him. He's pretty mean. That's kind of how we tend to be as human beings. God is not that way. It's important that we know God is not that way. God does not base His love for us on anything in us, because the Bible says God is love. So God is basing all of His love for all of us, not on who we are, not on what we have done, but on who He is. So if we have like a really bad day, and we fall into sin over and over again, we might be feeling, oh my goodness, God must not love me anymore. Let's never ever embrace that thought. It is not true. God continues to love us. Isn't that so wonderful? So when we think about God showing His love for us, I thought about this passage here in Titus chapter 3. So it says, God saved us, but notice what it says. God saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. Almost everyone is thinking, God is loving me because of my goodness, it just isn't true. The Bible says otherwise. So something like that, a passage like that, would be good to share with people who somehow think that God is loving them because of who they are or what they have done. It just isn't true. And then, so going back to the phrase, heaven is open by grace through faith. So what about faith? Well, the Bible teaches that when we are sharing the truth of God with someone, the Holy Spirit is at work through that word. So the Holy Spirit is showing the person that he is helpless. The Holy Spirit is showing that person that he has sins, and he is making him sincerely sorry for those sins, and the Holy Spirit is then giving him the gift of faith. There are many different ways to talk about faith, but think about taking the word faith and then making a word out of each letter. So F-A-I-T-H, so you guys know the phrase, I think, forsaking all, well, maybe we need a sermon on that phrase. So forsaking all, I trust him. Great definition of faith. So it has two parts. First part, forsaking all. Second part, I trust him. Now, let's keep in mind that with faith, God is working every aspect of that. So the first part of it, forsaking all. What do we mean by that? Well, with the first part, for most people, they have confidence in themselves to some extent. So forsaking all, that means that God is at work in order to help that individual person forsake all that stuff he was trusting in. So no longer is he trusting in his own goodness. No longer is he trusting in his church attendance. No longer is he trusting in what he puts in the offering plate. No longer is he trusting in how he is kind to his neighbor. He's forsaken all of that. So forsaking all, I trust him. Now, with I trust him, it kind of sounds like I'm doing it, but yet it just fits in with the way faith is spelled. So it's not that we are doing it, but rather God is enabling us to forsake all. God is enabling us to put all of our trust in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. So a great definition of faith, even just to talk to someone about that definition, would be a great way to go. And then, what else can we say? Heaven is open by grace through faith in Jesus. So you might talk to someone and they might say, I have faith. And then we want to ask them further, though. We want to say, well, where is your faith? Because anytime we have faith, faith is always in someone or something. For example, when I stepped up here into the pulpit, I had faith that this pulpit here was going to hold my weight and not collapse and I'd be laying down there on the floor somewhere. So I had faith. Or what about when you leave here today and you get in your car and you turn the key or you push a button, you have faith that that car is going to start up and it's going to take you home. We have faith in all kinds of things. When it comes to heaven, our faith should only be in Jesus. So when we think about our faith in Jesus, our faith is in him, first of all, because of who he is, the Son of God in human flesh, and then because what he did by living for us, taking our sins, taking our punishment, and so on. So it's always in him alone. Anyone who is a Christian, they have their faith in Jesus alone. If people don't have faith in Jesus alone, then they cannot be in Christ, because what did Jesus say? He said of himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only way. So when people are really Christians, they have their faith alone in Jesus. God wants us to understand that. And then, not just faith in Jesus, but faith in him for eternal life. You've heard me say it before with myself years ago. I trusted in Jesus. I prayed to Jesus, but I did not trust in him for heaven. There were other things in life, and I was asking for his help to help me get a better job, to keep me safe on a trip, to heal me when I was sick. What did I do back then? It was utter foolishness, but I basically said, God, I need your help in these ways down here. Hey, when it comes to heaven, don't worry about that. I've got that one. I'm okay. I'm a decent person. Wasn't that so foolish? But yet I just didn't know. That's like common sense thinking, but back at that time, I wasn't in the Bible, so I didn't know the truth. It kind of made sense to me. I was a decent person, but it is not at all what the Bible is teaching. But so many people today, they are not in the Bible, and they embrace that very same kind of teaching. Now, when it comes to trusting in Jesus, is it good to trust in him for everything? Oh, I'm sick. Trust in Jesus. Oh, I need a better job. Trust in Jesus. Oh, I'm trying to start my car. Trust in Jesus. Sure, let's trust in him for everything, but especially, let's have our full confidence in him that when we get to the door of heaven, the door will be open all because of our God-given confidence in Jesus Christ. So all of that, in a way, all of that is contained inside the card. Maybe I gave you a couple extra words there, but anyway, let's go to the back of the card. So I'm hoping that after people read through it, they're going to have some questions. So we're saying, basically, do you have any questions? Are you looking for more information? So that we're indicating to them that Bethlehem, that our congregation has answers for them, so we're hoping they'll reach out to us in some way. We're hoping they go to our church website, because there are all kinds of sermons and studies and brochures and videos and all kinds of things on our church website they could benefit from. And then if they happen to be in a situation where they're not online, they can simply give us a call on the phone. They could ask a question, they could leave a message, we'll get back to them. We want to try to give them a biblical answer. And then we're hoping if people have online access that they'll go and go to our YouTube channel. So for any of you, if you want to do that, just go to YouTube, go to the app, and then the name of our channel is Benefit from the Bible. So hit the search button, put in Benefit from the Bible. It'll come to our channel. You can hit the subscribe button. That way it'll make it easier to find it in the future. And then we're hoping also that people might show up here at our address and gather with us. So that's what the card is about. I'm hoping that all of you will pick up some cards. There are a bunch of them in the back, so I hope that you pick some of them up. I hope you read it carefully, think about it, get familiar with the content. If you're not quite sure what it means, you can pick up a copy of the sermon and have that go along with it so you can understand it better. And then when you think about it, I hope that each one of you are greatly rejoicing, confident, certain, heaven is open for me. I hope you're able to know that, and then may the joy of you knowing that heaven is open for you, may that motivate you then to take the cards, share them with maybe family members, friends, neighbors, coworkers. You could possibly take a card, and like if you go out to a restaurant, you could leave the card with your tip. What's important if you do that? Leave a good tip. I remember this one man I met years ago, and he carried this little tiny stapler with him in his pocket, and when he would do something like that, he would take the money and he would staple it to the card. He wanted to make sure that they got both the tip and the card. So anyway, I don't know if you want to go that far or not, but anyway, I know that he would do that. You could even, I suppose, if you happen to actually send your bills in an envelope, you could drop a card in the envelope. Not so many people are doing that anymore, but all kinds of different ways to make use of it. So I hope you do. Let's understand what our part is. Our part is to get the truth of God out there, and then it's up to the Holy Spirit to take it from there. So our part is pretty simple, and then we trust in God to do his part in order to open people's eyes to the truth and bring them to Christ. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you would move us by the Holy Spirit to share this new card with others so that they might read it, understand it, believe it, and even eternally benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.